Blog Talk Radio.
You are now tuning in to Wellness and Faith with Sherry Weary, where we question, explore, love, support, encourage, and make spiritual wellness a priority. So get ready to exercise your faith.
Welcome to Wellness and Faith with Sherry Weary. I'm excited that you have joined me on this evening as we make spiritual wellness a priority. I'm your host, and on tonight we're going to be discussing our hashtag moment for the month, and the hashtag moments for the month of May is More is Required. We'll also continue our series on discussing the miracles of Jesus that are found in the New Testament during our segment titled To Believe or Not to Believe. Then we'll go into our segment titled Let's Be Real, where I will be making a confession on tonight, which will be actually connected to my recent publication of my new novel. Was talking about how it took me almost 6 years to publish that book and to also talk about the various setbacks that I experienced with going through that process. And then we'll go into our main topic of discussion, where we'll be talking about running away from your purpose that God has for you and the dangers in doing that. And then we'll close out our show with the dose of spiritual wellness and continue with final greetings. And then I'll wish you well and hope to see you next week. So remember that you can interact with me before, during, and after the show on social media with the various hashtags that we mentioned during the show. That includes More is Required, Let's Be Real, our hashtag moment, Wellness and Faith, or anything else that really resonates with you, and be sure to tag me at Weary Consult. You can do that on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Also, you are more than welcome to call into the show with questions or comments by dialing 347-850-1154. And if you need that number again, you can look right here at the show website at blogtalkradio.com/RS Wellness to be able to get that number once again. So let's get right into our hashtag moment. So the hashtag moment is a point in the show where I discuss a topic that's related to my monthly blog, and we post about it on social media with that particular hashtag. I'm a guest contributor for the RS Counseling and Wellness Center blog, which can be found at radiantsunshine.org. In addition to my blogs that I do at least once a month, you can find other wellness tips there as well. My most recent blog, titled More is Required, will be coming out this week, so I encourage you to go and check that out. So once again, the hashtag for the month of May is More is Required. So on tonight, we're going to talk about how being well spiritually requires that you offer all of yourself to God. Some of those areas includes your mind, your body, your spirit, your finances. And so on tonight, we're actually going to focus our discussion on what it means to mentally give ourselves to God. So what does this mean when we talk about giving our minds to God? Well, first, before we even get into how we give our minds to God, we want to actually have an understanding of how the mind is portrayed in the Bible. When you look at the original transcripts of the Bible, they were written in Hebrew and Greek, there is actually not one single word that is parallel or literally means the same thing as the English word mind. What you see is that with the King James Version and even other translations as well, is that it translates several of the different Hebrew and Greek terms into mind. And so some of those terms, the Hebrew and Greek terms that are used, more directly actually translates into heart, into spirit, and it also translates into like the faculty of cognition, also mouth and speech, and also some of those words that are used also translates into intent. So we do want to make sure that even as we're beginning the discussion that we do have a clear and accurate understanding is that with the King James Version of the Bible, which is the version that's typically used here on the show, is that the word mind, when it's used in the King James Version, is not actually the exact translation with that. So when we're looking at this discussion of what it means to actually give our mind to God, if we're going to be accurate, we have to talk about the original intent of the scriptures that that we have here, and it talks about includes the heart, the mind, the spirit, our mouth, and our speech. So those are the different things that we're discussing when we're talking about giving our minds to God. And so when you look at, for instance, just our mouth and our speech, the reason why our mouth and our speech is so integral to how we offer up our mind to God is because our mouth and our speech, the things that we say, the things that we utter, either to ourselves or even to other people, is a direct reflection of what we are thinking. And so when you even look at how your speech is going to impact not only how you feel, it's also going to impact what you actually experience throughout the day or throughout, you know, your life as well. And so it's so important that as we are looking to give more of ourselves to God and we're looking to give our mind to God, we also have to offer up our speech and how we deal with ourselves, or communicate rather, with ourselves and how we communicate with others. So when it comes to even how we communicate ourselves, we will have to make sure that we are speaking things concerning ourselves that actually coincides with what God has said about us. So we shouldn't say negative things about ourselves. We shouldn't look down on ourselves. We really shouldn't have low self-esteem. The reality of it is that because of different experiences that may occur in your life, you may have issues with self-esteem. You may not have a high level of confidence, but in having those feelings, that actually contradicts what God says about who you are and who He created you to be. So we want to make sure that in our speech, even concerning ourselves, that we are speaking what God has said about us, and that includes us being worthy, includes us being loved, and includes us being capable, and includes us being talented and gifted, and includes us being made in His image, and so many other things as well. If you want to actually hear more about the discussion about identity and who we are according to God's word, you can actually listen back to some of the past radio shows that did a discussion on that for the month of April. You can go to blogtalkradio.com/RSWellness and be able to listen to past episodes. And so with our communication, even with others, we want to make sure that when we are speaking to others, that we are speaking words to edify. And in speaking words to edify, that doesn't always mean that what we're saying is going to be nice or it's going to be easy to receive, but what it does mean is that the intention of our speech is always to make the person better. So even if we have to speak about someone's shortcoming or we have to speak about a mistake that someone's made, we're not coming at them to attack them, because, again, we want to recognize that just as God sees us as a person of value and of worth and a person who is very capable and a person that He has put His spirit in and even gifted us with various things as well, it's the same thing with other people. Even if it's someone that we don't get along with well or someone we may not be the most fond of, at the end of the day, this person is a creation of God. This person was created to be in God's image. And this person also has purpose here on this earth as well. And so even as we're speaking to edify them, in order to reflect the mind of God and offering up our mind as a sacrifice or as an offering to God, we want to make sure that when we're communicating to others, that it's always from the intention to edify. And so another word that is used in the Bible to talk about mind, or that's translated into mind, is our heart. And so in offering up our mind to God, we want to offer up our hearts. We want to offer up our desires, the things that we are most fond of, the things that, you know, really matter the most to us. And in doing that, it doesn't mean that nothing else carries any weight. It doesn't mean that nothing else matters. But what it does mean is that God has first priority over anything or anyone that has meaning to us. And so even with offering up our hearts, it means that the intention behind everything that we do is meant to please God. It's meant in order to give praise to Him. You know, when you look at us being beings of praise, we don't just praise God when we're in church and, you know, we're singing or listening to worship music, or, you know, if we're, you know, in having a moment even in our own private time, and, you know, we may have different ways that we worship God or we give praise to Him as we spend that personal time with Him, is that praise is really about us having a lifestyle of consistently giving God praise. And in your lifestyle, the way that you give God praise is living a life that is pleasing to Him, living a life that reflects His love, and that also speaks to Those who may not believe, those who, you know, may be struggling with different situations, we're to be that light, you know, in the midst of whatever darkness that they may be experiencing in their lives. So in offering up our hearts and making sure that God is the center of our hearts, that he is the one that gets our first praise, he is the one that gets our first desires, he is the one that gets all of us, that's what it means even with giving our heart to God, is that we love him more than anything or anyone else in the world. And that's a process, especially, you know, for those who may actually be married or be in a relationship or even have children. You know, the love that you have for your significant other or for your children, you know, there's nothing that compares to that, and it's so deep, and you would sacrifice anything in this world to give to your significant other or even to your children as well. But even with having that love and that concern, and there is nothing wrong with that at all, you know, is that we want to make sure that the love and the concern that we have for ourselves and the love and concern that we have for others that we are close to or that are our family, and even our love and concern that we have for our goals and our plans that we have for our lives, things that we want to achieve, that it never takes precedence over our love for God. And so another word that is used to translate into mind is spirit. And so, you know, of course, we know that God is a spirit. And one of the scriptures in the New Testament talks about how in worship him, we to worship him in spirit and truth. Even when you look at Genesis, at the creation story, how man became a living soul, is that God breathed within man. He breathed his spirit within us. So the spirit is an integral part of how we offer up ourselves to God, how we offer up our mind, because the spirit is a direct reflection of God, and it should be a direct reflection of the essence of who we are. However, if we are not living a life that is pleasing to God, if we're not focusing our lives and our heart's desire and putting God as a priority and putting him above anything else, then his spirit is not going to be able to operate freely within us. Is that, you know, the awesome thing about God is that he's not forceful. He's a gentleman. He's not going to come and make you do something. Now, of course, he'll allow different circumstances to occur that will lead you more, hopefully lead you more towards the path that he has created for you and ordained for you even before the beginning of the world, is that with offering up everything our spirit to us, that we want to make sure that we provide a habitable space for the spirit to abide and a habitable space for the spirit to come and to be the focal point of how we operate and the intentions of our mind and the intentions of our heart and the intentions of everything that we do. And the way we do that by making a place habitable is that we want to make sure that we're clearing our spirits of anything that is going to be a hindrance to God's spirit being able to operate in our lives. And so that can look like making sure that certain relationships you may have to cut off with people. You know, there's certain people that you may not be able to interact with or hang out with in a way that you used to now that you're in this process of really growing more and getting into the position to be able to offer more of your mind over to God. And so let's talk about the different hindrances to our mind. So did just mention one thing, it's just our relationships. You know, this could be relationships on a job, it can be relationships with friends, it can even be relationships with your family members or with your significant other, or even how you interact with your children. Depending on how chaotic those interactions may be, you may need to separate yourself to the extent, not that you think that you're better than anyone else, but separate yourself to the extent where you're there to be a help and a resource that's needed, but you also have enough separation to be able to not allow your sacrifice, to not allow your mind to not be able to get fully over to God. And so some of the benefits of giving our mind fully to God, the scripture mentions several of those. You know, it talks about how we will have peace with God. Even it talks about focusing and thinking of things that are pure, those things that are lovely, those things that are of good report. And we know that our mindset is so important. If you think positive, then more than likely your day is going to be positive. If you think negatively, more than likely your day is going to be negative. Even with being in a situation, having a positive mindset completely changes how you operate in that situation. So the benefits of having a mind that's fully offered to God, it allows us to operate in peace, in strength, and in faith, even in the midst of faithless, crazy, chaotic situations. It allows us to be able to see that all things are working for our good as we continue to love God, as we continue to submit to his purpose that he has for our lives. And so the practical application of living out this hashtag of more is required is by, on a daily basis, making God the first thought when you wake up in the morning, making God the last thought before you go to bed at night, making sure that you're spending time throughout the day of giving specific moments to God and being sure that we're in a position to be able to hear what God is speaking to us and what he is leading us to do, making sure that we're keeping our heart in a position of love and of forgiveness, making sure that we are in a place where we're not harboring bitterness and harboring things against other people because of things they've done wrong to us, making sure that in our spirits that we're keeping our spirits pure by keeping our environments, our natural environments pure. So that may mean not listening to certain types of music or going to certain social venues or even having, you know, relationships with certain, close relationships with certain people. So here's some practical application of what it means to offer up our minds and realize that it is an ongoing best basis. We look at this hashtag, what more is required, is that you never get to the point while you're breathing here on earth that you have given enough. There is always more that we can give of God, that we can give to God as he continues to have more things for us to accomplish and as we continue to walk in his will for our lives and to experience the fullness of God. So when it comes to our spiritual wellness, we can't afford to hold back on God because more is required. So because more is required, we must be willing to give more. So now we're going to go into our next segment, titled To Believe or Not to Believe. This is a point in the show where I strongly encourage you to call in live on the show to discuss the various reasons why it may be difficult to believe in God. You can call into the show by dialing 347-850-1154. If you need a number again, you can look at the show website at blogtalkradio.com/RSWellness. It's listed there on the main page and also in the slideshow that is playing during the show. So on this evening, we're going to talk about the miracle of Jesus where he actually heals a man of leprosy. So the people that are involved in this particular story is Jesus, the man who actually is diagnosed with leprosy, and then also the people who live in the city where this miracle took place. You can find this story in the Bible in Mark chapter 1, verses 40 to 45, if you would like to go back and to read that on your own. And so here it is. We have Jesus where he is approached by a man, and the man comes up to Jesus, and he asks him if he will heal him and make him clean. Now, in biblical times, if a person was diagnosed with leprosy, they were seen as unclean or unfit to be able to be around the normal population. So they were actually exiled to a point outside of the village where they were lonely and by themselves and only lived with other people who may have always, who also had leprosy as well. So let's say at a particular given time, if they were the only person that was diagnosed with leprosy, then they lived a very lonely and abandoned life. So here it is, you have this person, this man, who comes up to Jesus and he sees Jesus and he comes and he's bowing down before him on his knees, asking him if he can make him clean, if he can heal him. And what's so awesome about what happens in this moment is that Jesus, before even healing the man, he shows compassion and he touches him. Before he heals him, before he honors his request, the first thing that he does is that he touches us. Now, remember again that I said that if someone was diagnosed with leprosy, they had to live outside of the village or the town. They were living in a place where they were very lonely. They couldn't communicate with other people, you know, and have normal conversations. They couldn't shake hands with people because leprosy was considered very contagious. And so in order to prevent it from spreading, you know, unnecessarily, they had very limited, actually no contact at all with others. So who knows how long that it had been when before Jesus had touched him, the last time that he had had someone just to give him a hug or even just to hold his hand or to show him that type of compassion where their first reaction was compassion and not to be like, oh, my gosh, get away from me. Because even with the leper, if they were to come anywhere near the town, they had to shout and say that they were that they had leprosy. So just, you know, someone didn't know right off the bat, you know, as soon as they're coming near them and they're making a shout, making it known that they're diagnosed with this illness, everybody would just run, you know? And so for Jesus in that moment, before he even goes and honors the request, to show compassion and to touch him first, it's such a powerful moment to show how we are to minister to other people. And when I say minister, I mean with the direct definition of what minister means. Minister means simply to give aid. So regardless of if you're a preacher or not, if you're a pastor or not, everyone as a Christian is called to minister. We are called to give help, to give aid to anyone that is in need. And when you're trying to witness or evangelize to someone, the first thing you need to do is to meet the practical need of the person first. If someone is coming to you and they're hungry, you know, the worst thing you could do is to go and try to preach a sermon while they're sitting there hungry and they haven't eaten in several days. The first thing you should do is to feed them. And so in this example, even plenty of other examples throughout the Bible, we see Jesus meeting the practical, immediate need first before he even does anything about the person's soul. And so Jesus touches him, and then he answers him and says, yes, I'm going to heal you. And as soon as Jesus had said that, the man was immediately healed and he was cleansed. And so when we see afterwards that Jesus tells him, like, okay, don't say anything about, you know, what happened. Just go and show yourself to the priest so that they can verify that you are cleansed, and then go your way. And so as the man is going away to go to the priest in order to show that he is healed and to be able to be approved to come back now into the regular population, he is going around telling everybody what happened. And even though Jesus told him not to tell people, I mean, you really can't blame him. You know, like, again, we don't know how long that he was in this state. We don't know how long it had been since he had seen his friends and his loved ones and just been able to go about his life normally without being able to have this boundary and these limits on him because of his disease. So he's telling everyone. And as a result of him making it known about the healing that he had just experienced, now it became impossible for Jesus to even go about his day-to-day business without being in throng with tons of people. Every single where that he went, people went looking for him because they also wanted to experience the healing power and also just to see what all the chatter was about as well. Now, this is not the first miracle that Jesus had performed. We know that there were several other miracles as well. So with Jesus now having crowds consistently seeking after him, it wasn't only the result of this particular incident of this man being healed of leprosy, but it was a combination of multiple people having this same story, like, hey, I had this issue. I went to this man named Jesus, and he healed me. So with this discussion, is what now pose a question to you. Do you believe? Do you believe that Jesus performed this miracle and the other miracles that are listed in the New Testament? Do you believe that just by simply saying a word, that a illness, a physical illness, can leave from you? If so, or if not, feel free to call into social media. Tell me why. Tell me why you don't believe it, or even tell me why you do believe it. You can call into the show at 347-850-1154, or you can post on social media on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and you can tag me at Weary Consult. I would love to hear from you. Of course, as always, every week my answer is the same. I do believe, and I believe because I believe in the Word of God, but I also believe because I have experienced the physical healing of God in my life as well. So now let's go on to our next segment, titled Let's Be Real, and this is a point in the show where I make a weekly confession. I am transparent about my mistakes and my shortcomings, and also very honest about the progress and the growth that I have made as well. The purpose of this segment is to provide an example of what I believe we need more of from people of faith. We need people being real. So let's do it. Let's be real. So my confession this week is actually related to my new book that I just published about a week and a half ago, and to talk about that process and also the fact that I experienced several setbacks as well. And, you know, unless you actually have went through the process of publishing a book, you're not going to be too as familiar with the whole process of how much goes into actually writing your piece and then having it edited and then going through the process of publishing. And depending on what you choose, whether you choose to self-publish or to actually get a publishing deal, of course, your process is going to be a little different as well. For me, I actually chose to self-publish my novel because I felt like that was the best avenue for me at this point. And to be completely honest, this book has been in the works for 6 years. And what's so ironic about that is that I've had people, several people who have purchased the book or who have been interested, you know, in my process and just completely shocked that I even wrote one, because I didn't talk a whole lot about it until recently. The past few months is when I started, you know, letting it be known that I was writing this book and, you know, it will be published pretty soon. And so one of the most common questions that I've gotten is, how long did it take you to write this book? And I'll give them the short answer depending on, you know, if they have enough time to hear the whole story. But if they have more time, then I actually will go into the information that I'm going to give you now. So I originally got the idea for the book in 2010. And, you know, at this point, I was actually unemployed. I was looking for work. And, you know, I'm sitting in my bedroom one day, and just this idea pops in my head about this story about a young girl who has all these painful experiences in her life and her attempt to try to get over it, to try to heal from it. And, you know, I started writing, like I said, it was like the end of 2010. And once I became employed again, I stopped writing. And the reason for that is because, you know, my focus was on maintaining my job. And, you know, at the time I was working a job where I was working like 50 to 60 hours a week, sometimes more. So needless to say, you know, when I came home, I would shower and just go to bed. You know, I didn't have the time or even, well, I won't say I didn't have the time, but I didn't have the energy, the physical, the mental, the emotional energy to now sit down and to write the book. And I chose to just put it on hold until I was able to get a job where I was working less hours and still not missing out on that pain. And so then in 2012, I was working a job, and I was hurt while I was at work. I went out to the parking lot to actually get my lunch out of the car, and in the process of doing that, I fell on some black ice, which, of course, I didn't see until after I fell, and I'm laying there on the ground in pain. And as a result of that injury, I was actually out of work now again for several months. And at first, you know, when I first got injured, I'm thinking like, okay, this is going to be a quick recovery. So, you know, just within a few weeks, I'll be back at work. Everything will be fine. And that's not what happened. And what was so disappointing is that at this time, not only was I working a job at the company where I was hurt, but I also had a second job as well and had just received a promotion at that job that was going to be a really awesome opportunity. And so that's part of the reason why I really wanted to get back to work so quickly. So, you know, with writing the book wasn't even on my radar. I'm thinking like, okay, I just need to get well. I need to get back into shape. I need to get back on the job because I just got this promotion, and there's so many opportunities for growth in this company. I know this won't be my last promotion that I get as long as I continue to do a great job. So as the first month went by, the second month went by, and I realized that my pain and my injury was a lot more serious than what I had initially thought. And just the ability to be able to do things just really went down to almost zero. I mean, even just doing basic things like just, you know, caring for myself, like, you know, going and washing clothes and getting a shower and brushing my teeth became nearly impossible because I was in so much pain all of the time. So realizing that I was going to be out of work for several months, I decided to go back now to the novel and started writing. So I was able to finish it, and I finished it, you know, at the end of April in 2012, and recently posted on social media about that as well. So if you follow me on Facebook, you saw that story about that post. But so from 2010 to 2012, that was a course of 2 years, well, like, you know, a year and a half. But honestly, the actual time I spent writing, I would say probably about 5 or 6 months. You know, I was not consistently writing every day throughout that year and a half. And so once I received my healing and I was back at work, again, the book, before that, I actually got my book copyrighted as well at the end of the summer of 2012. And then I was back at work once I received my healing. And then my focus became work again, where I didn't do anything else with it. And so fast forward to 2015, I'm having a discussion with my now mentor. And I was telling her about different things that I wanted to do when we start talking about the book. And she's like, oh, well, where can I purchase your book? I'm like, well, you can't purchase it yet. She's like, well, I thought you said you finished it. I'm like, I did. But it's not available to be purchased yet. And so from that, you know, initiated discussion where she gave me some options to be able to overcome the different obstacles that I thought were preventing me from moving forward. And so from that point up until now, it was a lot of challenges that happened. Everything wasn't smooth sailing. You know, I made some mistakes along the way as far as different decisions that I made about how to move forward. And even with publishing, but like initially I had song lyrics in my book from two other gospel artists, but wasn't able to move forward with it, so I had to change my story, even though those songs were so integral to the novel, and I would have loved for them to have been included. Because I was not able to secure copyright permissions, I now had to go back and change my story. And so with the song lyric that is included from C.C. Winans' song Pray, I was like, this is the one song I just cannot let go of. I'm going to wait and get till I get permission. And I'm very happy to say that I was able to secure permission to use those song lyrics in my book. And so you will actually see those lyrics in the book. I won't say more than that because I don't want to ruin the story. So the whole point of me just talking about and being honest about this process is that I want to let you know is that there's not a whole lot of things as an overnight success. There's a few people who do experience that, but with me and with where I am, is that it wasn't an overnight success. It was times of activity and times of inactivity. There were setbacks out of the way. There were tons of challenges that I encountered, but I kept pushing forward. Even though I would put it on the back burner for a while, I would always come back. And then I got to the point last year in 2015 where I'm just like, okay, you know what? I'm not going to allow anything to keep me from moving forward and actually getting this book published. So in spite of all of those challenges, in spite of even the challenges that still exist right now with trying to market and just learning, there's so many new things that I didn't know before, is that I can still say that the book is now published, is available for sale. You can go to my website, sherryweary.com. You can go to amazon.com and even barnesandnoble.com to be able to purchase my novel, Walking Through the Pain. So what I encourage all of you on today is that despite how many times you push your goals to the back burner, despite how many times you've made mistakes and how things didn't go the way you planned, despite how many times you may have even had to make revisions along the way and go back from plan A to plan B to plan C to however many plans you've had to recreate, is to still move forward and do it. Because if I can overcome the challenges and succeed, you can do it too. So we're going to take a short break right now for our wellness moment with Sharia Farmer, and we'll be back in the show after that.
Today's wellness moment. Today's wellness moment is be grateful. It is one of the best things in the world to really reflect on the things that you have and to be able to really acknowledge the things that you do have in your life so that you can have a level of gratitude. And also, it's been shown that when a person is grateful, they actually can identify the things that make them happy. It actually helps to, for them to have a less experiences of sadness, and it also helps them balance with the ups and downs because they can reinforce when they are down that they have things to be up for. Now, that doesn't mean that you're not going to have bad moments. Doesn't mean that you're not going to have things in life that happen that bring you down. But what it does mean is that you'll have a level of great gratitude or gratefulness that you can return to when these moments come. I really think that this is an important one because it helps to maintain your health, realizing that there's good times and bad times, but you can always identify some good in your life. And also just take a minute, maybe about 1 or 2 minutes a day, either in the morning or even before you go to bed, just to kind of be grateful. So that's our wellness moment for this week. You guys be well.
So welcome back to Wellness and Faith with Sherry Weary. Remember that you can interact with me online with the various hashtags that we mentioned throughout the show. You can find me on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, and Periscope as well. So if there's anything that resonates with you or that encourages you or even sparks a question, feel free to post and then tag me at Weary Consult. So we're going to go into our main topic and discussion today, which is actually related to a post that I actually saw on Facebook a few days ago. So there was this short video on Facebook that literally made me laugh out loud. And if you would like to see the video, you can actually go to my business page on Facebook to check it out. Just go in a search bar, type in Weary Consult, and my business page, Sherry C. Weary, will appear. So I'm watching this video. I laughed so hard. Not just because the video was hilarious, but also because I can relate to this truth. And the video was talking about the consequences of running from God's purpose in your life. I have actually experienced this several times, and on my post on Facebook, I actually talked about the process of me being called to preach. I am a licensed minister, and I received my calling while I was actually still in college. I was 21 years old, 20 or 21 years old, and at the time that I received the calling, I'm just like, wow, like, I don't know if I can accept this. I was really afraid. One, I was afraid of failing. I did not feel equipped at that time to be able to carry such a heavy responsibility. And then the other thing is that I had tons of other plans for my life that did not include being a preacher. So I was like, you know what, God, I don't know about this. So I took some initial steps just to be like, okay, this is what I'm going to do, just so, you know, I can let God know that I at least tried. And then taking those initial steps, I didn't get, you know, things were put on hold afterwards where the response that would have initiated me to begin immediately preaching didn't happen. So I was relieved. And I was like, okay, God, well, there you go. I did what I needed to do. So now I'm just going to go ahead and continue with my own plans. And so for several years, I ran from this calling. And to be quite honest, I suffered greatly with not trying to be in the will of God and to adhere not only to that calling, but even to other things that God was leading me to do at that time. So when I finally accepted my call to preach in 2007, just like the end of 2007, I really honestly only did it because I was tired of going through craziness in my life. I was tired of suffering because I knew in my spirit that I was suffering because I kept telling God no, and that when God said left, I went right. When he said come forward, I would run back. And so now being at this point, you know, I became licensed in March of 2010, so it's been, you know, a little over 6 years now that I've been a preacher. I can tell you that although my life is a lot more fulfilling because I have answered the call of God in that particular area and other areas as well, it's that it still hasn't been easy. There have been several challenging moments where I have been like, okay, God, see, this is why I didn't want to be a preacher, or this is why I didn't want to do this particular thing that you called me to do. You know, it's just that there have been some very difficult moments, but there have also been some very rewarding, humbling moments as well, where I've seen how God has used me as a vessel to be able to bless others and to be an encouragement to others. And I just have to give God thanks because I know that I don't deserve to have that grace instilled upon me, to have the grace to be able to encourage someone else to be that vessel, you know. And so I'm really appreciative of the fact that God chooses and continues to choose to use me in order to be light in this world while somebody else is experiencing whatever type of darkness, emotional, mental, spiritual darkness in their life. So one biblical example that we have of someone who also ran from, you know, God's purpose on their life is Jonah. And so we know the story, or some of you may be familiar with Jonah's story. From some those of you who are not, to give you the very quick version, is that what happened is that Jonah was called by God to go and to preach to the people of Nineveh. And so Jonah did not want to do it. He felt that, you know, Nineveh needed to go ahead and be destroyed because, you know, they were not living lives that were lining up with the will of God. And so Jonah felt that they should just go ahead and experience the destruction that God planned to do if they did not adhere to the message that God was placing within Jonah to give them. So Jonah ran. He decided to get on the boat and go in the complete opposite direction of Nineveh. As a result, a storm happens where the boat is about to be destroyed, and everyone on his ship, including Jonah, was going to be destroyed. And so they cast lots, and they find out that Jonah is the reason for the storm. And so Jonah tells them, hey, you know what, just toss me into the sea, and you're not going to have a problem, and everybody will live. And they were hesitant to do it, but they decided to listen to Jonah. They threw him overboard, and as soon as they threw him overboard of the ship, the storm ceased. Like, everything stopped. The water stopped acting crazy. The boat stopped rocking. Just it immediately just went to calm. And they're like, wow, truly the God that this man serves is the one and true living God. And so after Jonah is tossed into the sea, he's actually swallowed by a large fish. And he's in this fish for several days. And, you know, by being in a fish, he actually, you know, agrees to go ahead and obey God's will and to preach to people in Nineveh. So he goes and he preaches to Nineveh, they repent, and now the destruction that they were going to experience is reversed and they don't have to worry about that. And just to be honest about the rest of the story, Jonah wasn't happy about it. He's like, how is it that they can live these lives that are totally crazy, that are totally against your will, that stand in direct enmity of who you are and what you have called us to do, and now I go and preach this message to them, and they repent, and you have mercy on them. And the thing about it is that that was God's will. God didn't truly want them to be destroyed, so he allowed this moment to give them an opportunity to repent to happen, and as a result, they were not destroyed at that moment. And so what we see here demonstrated in the life of Nineveh, and, you know, even in my own story as well, is that we can't allow our own feelings to get in the way of hindering from us from doing what God has called us to do, and that there are consequences that come not only for us but even sometimes for the people around us. You know, when you look at Jonah, all the people that were on the ship with him were at risk of dying simply because Jonah decided to run. Here it is, they didn't know anything about Jonah at all, but they got caught in his chaos and then, you know, the possibility of dying simply because Jonah didn't want to obey the will of God. But the other side of that is that there is blessings that come from obedience. And in Jonah's story, we see that the people in Nineveh were saved. And so, honestly, at the end of the day, I would say that it's not worth running from God's purpose and call in your life. It won't be easy to answer that call. There's going to be so many challenges, but there's also so many rewards. And the ultimate reward, which is having the favor of God and having God pleased with your life because you have chosen to obey even through the difficulties and the challenges, is worth more than anything else in this world. There is nothing that is more valuable than having God pleased with your life and having God pleased with the fact that you have answered his call on your life. So whatever you have been called to do, and I'm not just talking about preaching, there can be business things or business bills that God is calling you to go and venture out and to take advantage of. There can be relationships that God is calling you to restore, even to seek out new interactions with new people that are outside of your comfort zone. There can be things that maybe possibly within your church, different areas of ministry that God is calling you to serve. Within your family, there can be different things that God is calling you to do on behalf of your family that you're not comfortable with because of past issues that may have happened. But once you obey God and you do it, is that there's going to be such a blessing and reward and a peace that you will have even through the chaos. So I encourage you to go forward in what God is calling you to do, no matter what it is, whether it's even given more financially. You know, let's say that there's different causes that God has placed before you that he wants you to sow financially into, or even directly at your church. Maybe there's some things that God has, you know, even blessed or put you on the heart of your pastor, and now God has given you financially the resources to be able to support that. You want to go ahead and do it. Or maybe as an individual who's struggling, who needs some assistance, and God has placed you on the heart, and he's leading you to give of your time, to give of your talent, to give of your resources. You want to go and do it because the blessing that comes with that's going to be so awesome and so amazing. The Bible talks about give and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down and running over will other people now give into you because you have initially started that whole cycle of giving. So we're going to go into our dose of spiritual wellness that we can learn from not only my story I share, but also from the story of Jonah as well. Is that one, you can't outrun God. He will find you wherever you are. There is no place in this entire universe that is a sufficient hiding place from God. So don't run. Don't try to hide because you're going to fail. You're going to fail miserably in trying to hide from God. Two, when we obey God's will, when we actually run towards God instead of running away from God, we now have access to this abundance of mercy and grace that enables us to be able to carry out the call that he has put on our lives and that he is speaking to us. Thirdly, God's will is perfect in that it takes into account everything that we have been, everything that we are right now, and everything that we will be in order to fulfill the purpose that God has in our lives. There is no amount of planning that we as human beings can do that will be as awesome and as thorough as God's purpose and his will. We can't take everything into account from yesterday, what's going on today, and even in the future, because we don't even know the future. But God does. So that's why we can find comfort in God's will, even when there's some hesitancy there, because we may be afraid or we may think that we're not good enough. It's that God already knows it all, and he knows that because he enables us to do all things through the strength of his Son, that we are more than capable to do it and to answer the call of purpose that he has on our life. Lastly, people will either suffer or lack because of our running away from God, or they will be blessed by our running towards God. So when we run away from the purpose that God has for our lives, there are people that miss out on blessings that God has set up for them through our obedience. And there are people who can suffer. You know, once again, just to point out, the people who were on the boat with Jonah, they were at risk of dying simply because Jonah was running away from giving this message to the people of Nineveh. But on the flip side of that, there are people who will be blessed by your obedience. They will be blessed by you living that sacrificial life and giving yourself to God and giving yourself to the call and the purpose that He has for you. It won't be easy. It's going to be challenging, but the reward is so much greater than any other plan or desire that we can put in place for our lives. So that is all that I have for you all this evening. I've enjoyed spending the time with each and one of you, and I look forward to speaking with you next Monday at 7 p.m. here at blogtalkradio.com/RS, RS Wellness. You can also listen to all the replays of the show. So let's say if you tuned in a little late or you missed the show from last week or maybe you want to go back and listen to other shows again, you can always go back to blogtalkradio.com/RS Wellness. to be able to listen to the replays of all of the shows. Remember that you can find my blogs at radiantsunshine.org. My newest blog, titled More is Required, will be coming out in the next few days, so you want to go to check that out. With going to radiantsunshine.org, you will always find tons of other wellness tips as well to help you on your journey of being whole. On Tuesdays, there is a show that Sheree Farmer does at 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time titled The Lunch Date, A Social Wellness Break. You can go back to listen to replays of that show as well by logging on to blogtalkradio.com/RS Wellness. Lastly, just to give you an update about my book, Walking Through the Pain, that was released about a week and a half ago, both print and ebooks are available on my website at sherryworry.com. As of today and through May 14th, I'm running a Mother's Day special on print copies where you can get the book for free shipping for $20 on my website at sherryworry.com. But you have to go to my website, sherryworry.com, to be able to order the print book in order to get that Mother's Day special where you'll get free shipping with all of your orders that you make now through May 14th. If you would like to purchase my book at other websites, because let's say you have discount codes or, you know, some other codes that discounts are available to you, you can go to Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com as well to be able to order the print and the ebook version. So once again, that's all that I have for you all this evening. And as always, my prayer for you is to be well, be whole, and to be set free.